The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back, everybody. Well, when somebody is running for Congress whose hair is as cool as Michelle Woodhouse, you don't just have her call in. You get her on Zoom. Hey, Michelle, how are you? Good to see you. Happy New Year.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And Happy New Year to you. How was your Christmas season?
It was wonderful. Thank you so much. It was great. Everybody was healthy. So we had a blessed Christmas and New Year's.
That's good. Good to hear that. And thanks for your time.
And how was yours?
Oh, it was pretty good. We had, 11 or 12 people at our house for 4 days. So that makes for interesting times, but it's family and we had a great time. It's, as your kids get older and as we get older, you realize the value of that time more and more. So it becomes more special as the years go by. So that was great. We just loved it. So thanks for asking and good to see you again. So are you officially a candidate for Congress yet? Normally we would be saying in January.
Today's a big day in North Carolina. You know, I was sharing with someone earlier today. Really, over the course of the next 7 days, there are going to be tremendous court cases and information coming out, not just in North Carolina, but across the country. So most importantly for us here and for the congressional race today, the 3-judge panel is supposed to release their findings on what's going to happen with the maps. So I think we're all anticipating, what that looks like. And then we'll know from there what happens with filing. So right now, everyone's in a bit of a waiting period. How do the North Carolina House and Senate maps look? Do they stay intact? How do the congressional maps look? Do they stay intact? But for us, we're still running. Whatever map they give us, we're still going to run and win and take an America First faith-based Christian fight to the swamp.
Amen.
And so nothing changes for us, but we just are a little bit in a holding period.
So what are the potential outcomes here? The 3-judge panel, they're either going to come back and say, the maps are fine. They're not violating anything. Are they going to say what? What's the other alternative? These violate the law and you need to go back to the drawing board.
Right. I think, it'll be interesting. They're looking at 3 sets of maps. So they could come back with different rulings on each one of the maps. So the North Carolina House seats, the North Carolina Senate seats, and the 14 congressional districts. So they're going to, I don't think they'll give one blanket finding for all 3. So they may come back and say, this group is good, this group isn't good, do some tweaking here. Now, the courts in the state of North Carolina can't change the maps.
Right.
All they can do is direct the changing of the maps. So they could say, start over, like scratch the whole thing and go back.
And then the legislature, the ball goes back in the legislature's court.
Correct. Yeah. Then the legislators will have to redraw the maps, and the General Assembly has been in their longest session ever. Mm. And now they're going to have to go back and redraw maps. And you kind of add the little twist to it. They were drawing maps before for themselves. Mm-hmm. And now many of them have decided to run for other offices. Congress, they've moved from the North Carolina House to the North Carolina Senate. They're all, chess pieces on a board. And now they may be asked to redraw maps that impact what they thought they might be running for.
Jeez.
So I think we're about to see, this is kind of the dirty part of all of this. It does speak to the fact that, we have other states that do their redistricting completely differently than what we do here in North Carolina. But I think at this point, what people want, what the voters really want is just tell me who I'm voting for, where I can vote. Let's get going. I think candidates want to get started in the process. We really only have 4 months left in this primary season if they make their ruling today and we can work off maps today.
Yeah.
And that's not a lot of time for voters to get to know the candidates that they're voting for. And I think we're all anticipating 2022 will be a big conservative wave. We'll have a lot of Republicans elected, but people are really well educated. They're getting more and more educated. Mm-hmm. They want to spend time with the candidates. They want to vet the candidates. They want to know their vote's going to count. So I think not only will we see people voting for conservatives, but someone shared with me last night, it's one of those situations where not all Republicans are created equal.
That's right.
And people want to know which one of the people on the which one of the R's is an R that stands with my values. So we need the courts to make a decision so we can all get out there and make sure that the voters get the right information.
Who brought the lawsuit in the first place, Michelle?
The Democratic Party.
Because they don't like it the way it goes.
And then Roy Cooper and Josh Stein. So, you know, it's been kind of a layered thing. We knew that these were going to happen. Eric Holder moved to North Carolina a year before the maps, or even before we had the census data.
Well, that was just because he loves the state, Michelle. There's nothing nefarious there.
It's a great place to live. Everyone wants to move here. We just ask when you move here, if you moved from a blue state, please leave those blue policies there, because there's a reason you moved here.
Don't pack that box of garbage and bring it with you.
Correct. Correct. So when, you know, initially it was the NAACP, the Democratic Party, at the DNC level, then you have Roy Cooper and Josh Stein filed the last lawsuit. And, you know, basically what they're all claiming is the same, that the maps are gerrymandered, that
same story it always is.
Maps are inherently racist. And, you know, they don't like that the fact that the Republicans are in charge of the General Assembly and the Constitution allows them to draw the maps.
Yep.
And so, you know, what we have to do, I think, your listeners, for all voters, it's just remind people, be really educated before you walk into the polls. Pay attention. The courts are at some point going to decide. And a lot of this, as my husband would say, is kind of inside baseball. So much of the filings and the court cases are kind of the making of the sausage, which nobody wants to see happening. But it's important for all the listeners to know, take the time, as soon as all this is settled, as soon as you're able to see who has filed for every office, from the top of the ballot at the congressional level where you live, down to county commissioner, city council, sheriff, everybody top to bottom, spend time vetting them. Go to their website, go to events that they're having, get to know them. Make sure that you're voting for people that stand for your conservative principles, because the ones who we have put into office in many, many situations maybe had an R next to their name, but they were not conservatives. They weren't Christians. They weren't fighting for the issues that we wanted them to be fighting for. And more often than not, it's because we didn't put in the time and effort to get to know who we were voting.
Yeah, that's right. And if there's one good piece of fruit off the COVID tree of the last 2 years, and I'm spending the second half of the show talking about the bombshell information that came out last night through Project Veritas about COVID in Wuhan. Don't implicitly trust anybody. Don't implicitly trust any party. Now, a lot of people are waking up to that. There's massive distrust, but massive distrust can lead to incredible wisdom if you spend the time to actually investigate, which is what Michelle's talking about. WoodhouseForNC.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be back with you, talking to Michelle Woodhouse, running for District 14 in the U.S. Congress. Woodhouse4NC.com. That's the number four, okay, the digit. Woodhouse4NC.com. Michelle has become a friend and is a patriot, a conservative, more than all of that, and something that trumps all of that for me is she's my sister in Christ. And so when we have candidates like that, that are running, especially here in North Carolina, I will give them airtime whenever it works out. And so it's mi casa, su casa. That's the deal. My name's on the show, but it's not my show. It's God's show. So I just try to be a good steward of it. And to advance a Christian conservative worldview in a country where the laws affect all of our neighbors, that's why I think it's flat out a sin to not vote, because you're choosing to not engage in a process that affects all your neighbors. And I think that's negligent. That's a violation of neighbor love, which is therefore a violation of God love, which therefore makes it a violation of God's law in general, and you're a sinner. Okay, so I don't know many pastors that are willing to go on the air and say that, but I don't have to answer to a bunch of you sitting out in the pews, so I speak what I believe is to firmly be the truth, and that's what we do. That's why Michelle's here, and Michelle, great to see you. Thanks for being on again today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's always great.
Okay, so we've got, we're on pins and needles a little bit, waiting to see what the three-judge panel is going to do when it comes to, do we have to redraw the maps or whatever? Setting that aside, because it's going to get done one way or another. Based on what's going on in the news, not only at the state level, but also the national level, how is this affecting, like, what are you choosing to focus on mainly with your campaign so people can understand? You were saying before the break, and I agreed with you wholeheartedly, that don't just because somebody's got an R next to their name, don't assume that they're going to align with your values. And if anything, let's take our paranoia and our distrust that's grown exponentially in the last 2 years because of COVID and turn it into our the homework that we will do before we fill out a ballot, especially in the primary coming up in May. But help us understand what you're standing for and what's important to you right now based on what's going on in our
absolutely
state.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've kind of taken on this adage of being Congresswoman No. And,
Amen.
You know, that's one of our websites as well. So we have congresswomanno.com. And our focus is really on saying no to the failed policies of the Biden agenda. First and top priority for us is the border crisis. And it is regaining control of our border. If we don't have a border, we don't have a country. And there is a reason why Joe Biden is delaying the release of the numbers for the illegals that have crossed over. We know that number is going to be north of 2 million, which is more than the population of the greater Charlotte area, yeah. More than the population of the state of New Mexico. It is five times the size of any congressional district. It's unbelievable, these numbers. And for us, yeah. Top priority is we take control of our border away from the Mexican cartels, because the drug cartels are who are controlling our border right now. So number one issue for us, start building the wall. And
God bless Texas for taking the move to self-fund and do it anyway.
Absolutely.
I keep saying I wish they would just march into the holding areas where they've got all the gear that was already bought and paid for under Trump's desire to build the wall, and just go take it. Because what do you think is going to happen? You think the National Guard's going to start shooting at you? They're not. Just going to say, hey, this stuff's bought and paid for by the taxpayer. We're not stealing from the government. We're taking what's already ours and just go get it done. But I appreciate seeing them do that.
Well, and you know, I heard Governor Abbott, and to your point, God bless him for what he's doing.
Yeah.
He was asked, will the federal government sell you these materials, hundreds of millions of dollars that are just rusting?
Just rusting.
So we have the federal government purchased hundreds of millions of dollars in supplies to build a wall. We probably borrowed much of that money from China. And now those supplies are sitting rusting as thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants are crossing our border every week, every week, every week, every week. But I do believe that the border has to be our top priority, because once we control the border, it helps to control other things that are happening inside the country, yeah. Right? We've got to stop the leak before we start to clean up the flood damage.
Right.
And
like triage.
We are seeing fentanyl deaths, overdoses at record levels because of the drugs that are coming over the border. So, for us, top priority is the border. And then election integrity is one of our top priorities. And what's critical right now, as we look at Chuck Schumer next week wanting to change the rules around the filibuster and push through this John Lewis Voting Act, which is not a voting act. It's a racist federal government takeover of all elections. And, you know, that Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema have got to stand firm.
Yeah, pray for
them. They are the safety for this country, because if the liberals are able to push through the John Lewis Voting Act, just so listeners know what that means is, number one, it means that the federal government now controls all state elections,
which is unconstitutional.
As if we need the federal government doing anything else.
Yes.
Secondly, it makes voter ID illegal. They'll never be voter ID. Number three, it allows felons to regain their voting rights immediately upon release from prison. And, you know, we just saw this week in New York, the new mayor of New York City is now allowing 800,000 non-citizens to vote in legal elections. And so what ends in their local elections? What should scare all of us is what the liberals are trying to do to circumvent the voice of the people. And we heard it for 4 years. It doesn't matter who you voted for, really. At the end of the day, in 2016, when President Trump won, the liberals screamed and yelled for 4 years that Russia stole the election.
That's right.
Then in 2020, we have, you know, concern. And I mean, I do too. I think there's always been election fraud. I think we would be foolish not to believe that has happened. But what the liberals are trying to do now is to federalize and legalize stealing elections.
Exactly.
And now what is going to happen in New York, that gets punted to the courts. Liberal courts are going to legislate from the bench if that's allowed. And if New York is allowed to have 800,000 non-citizens vote, that's going to come to Raleigh. And that's going to come to Asheville and San Francisco and Detroit and Chicago and Los Angeles. It's going to go to every Democrat-controlled city in a way to make sure that they always stay in power.
That's right.
And so it's terrifying to look at. So protecting our elections, keeping the elections at the local level, the federal government has one job. You and I have talked about this many times. They have one job, protect the citizens of the country. That's it.
That's it.
All the other power that the federal government exerts on us, like unconstitutional mandates, is power that was given to them from the states. And that's not how our country was designed. The states are to be able to make those decisions at the state level, not have the federal government involved. So closing the border, election integrity, and I really hit on this, really looking at these unconstitutional mandates. The Supreme Court, we believe, will have a ruling here relatively quickly around Joe Biden's unconstitutional vaccine and OSHA mandates. I do believe that the conservative judges will vote the right way, but this is critical for the Supreme Court to be able to stay true to the Constitution. And when you hear Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor, you know, when we were talking about the Jackson, Mississippi case, and she's comparing unborn babies to brain dead people.
Yep.
And now we have her coming out. I mean, even the CDC and Fauci.
Well, yeah. Well, that's when she said, I mean, sitting there as a Supreme Court justice, say there's 100,000 kids in the hospitals nationwide and a lot of them on ventilators. There's 3,500 in the hospitals nationwide. She's just completely lying the whole time. We're talking to Michelle Woodhouse. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to Michelle Woodhouse, who's running for District 14 U.S. Congress. Woodhouse4NC.com is the website. Woodhouse4, that's the number 4, NC.com. And again, she's out in Western North Carolina. But whether you're in Western Carolina or not, if you care about the state and if you care about the nation, then people like Michelle are the ones we got to get behind it with our prayer support, with our financial support. And especially if you're out in that neck of the woods listening to the show, then you can be boots on the ground and you can help as well. And this is where we all have to kind of get our place on the wall, but we can help each other. So whether Michelle lives in your district or not is really irrelevant for the sake of that conversation. We should all be supporting whatever candidates we can that agree with our conservative Christian values. And those are her values because that's who she is. So it's great to have Michelle on the show. I wanted to let you finish up your thought, then we'll let you go. We were just talking about the threats to the Constitution, especially like what we've seen with the mandates coming out of the White House with respect to COVID and the vaccine mandate. So I wanted to make sure you had time to finish your thought on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think we really will see probably over the course of the next 7 to 10 days, the Supreme Court has been clear that they're going to try to get this ruling done quickly. I think they took up the case very quickly. You know, and we're seeing the impact of these mandates across the country. I know you're seeing them there in Wake County. Listeners that are listening across the state are seeing them here. Every hospital has stopped elective surgeries effective today. In Western North Carolina, because of staffing shortages, restaurants are closing at shorter hours. Maybe they're shutting down 2 or 3 days because you can't get staff. The Postal Service, I read an incredible article. The Postal Service is looking for an exemption from the vaccine mandates in order to try to keep staff. We're watching distinguished members of our military who have enlisted, who are fighting every day for our freedoms, who are being discharged from the military because they refuse to follow the mandates. And, you know, what Biden put forth with the mandates is 100% unconstitutional.
That's right.
And this is when the Supreme Court is going to need to stand up, and the conservatives on the Supreme Court are going to need to stand up and stay true to the Constitution. To your point, Sotomayor is going to get up and pontificate and try to wax poetic, but that is not her job. The Supreme Court is not there to legislate from the bench. They're there to interpret the Constitution, and that is what they're there for. And sadly, what we've seen happen, I think, in the highest court in the land, and we see it at all of our lower courts, is a complete politicization of the bench. And because we continue to kind of punt pieces of legislation to the courts, we're in a situation. We saw it here in North Carolina with a smaller issue, voter ID. Voters wanted it. It got punted to the courts. Liberal judges decided it's a no-go, and so we don't have it. Yep. So we're going to need to watch very closely what the Supreme Court is doing. You know, to your point earlier, I think it is really critically important. I might not live where you live. You might not be a voter in the 14th Congressional District, but what we're seeing now in Washington, D.C., I don't live in West Virginia and I don't live in Arizona, but Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin are the two most important voices on Senate floor now, because they're the difference between us staying a republic and us turning into Venezuela.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me throw this out here for a second, then we'll let you go, Michelle. Again, we're talking to Michelle Woodhouse, District 14, and running for Congress out there in Western North Carolina, woodhouse4nc.com. One of our friends at Facebook Live posted this. This was just updated at 4:29 p.m. A panel of North Carolina judges on Tuesday voted to let the Republican-drawn legislative and congressional map stand, dealing a blow to voting rights groups who had argued the boundaries were unlawfully created for pure partisan gain and to dilute the voting power of racial minorities. Of course, the ruling announced in Wake County Superior Court is expected to be appealed to the state Supreme Court, where judges who are registered Democrats outnumber Republicans 4-3. So that just hit the wire just a couple minutes ago. So we'll see. Off it goes to the Supreme Court.
Let the court cases continue.
Yeah, that's right. You got to keep fighting the battle. Well, Michelle, great to see you. Thanks for your time today. We'll have you back on again so we can continue to have this conversation. But we definitely appreciate you and are praying for you, and we'll help you any way we can.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful. It's always a blessing to be on the show. Thank you for the work you're doing.
You're welcome.
So incredibly important, and happy to be part of the show.
Amen. Thanks, sis. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, we'll switch back to Facebook. I want to take you guys into the James O'Keefe Project Veritas video. Okay, this just released last night. It's still on YouTube, believe it or not. Where did my volume go? I just lost myself. There I am. Okay, so we'll switch back over here on the Facebook side. But I want to play this video for you, so let's get that ready to go. This is James O'Keefe, Project Veritas, okay? So they've got, and then I'm going to take you through an article, but I want you to hear as much of this video as we can. It's about 7 minutes long, okay? But James narrates it, so he's going to explain things to you, what's going on. So I want to make sure you hear that, because it'll get taken down from various social media platforms. And so here on the radio, this isn't social media. So nanny, nanny, boo-boo. Any boo-boo, you can't stop me. So that's what we're going to do. I want you to hear this. Do we have that ready to go? What's that? All right, so we're almost ready to do this, and we want to just pay attention. There's a lot of little details in here. I'm going to take you through an article that goes back through the information you're about to listen to, so I'll get you into some of the details of it. But let's get it started. We'll have to finish it on the other side of the break. But this is the Project Veritas James O'Keefe video that came out last night about some documents that they just got their hands on, which are really quite explosive. So let's play that.
The things that you've said.
You're still unwilling to admit that they gained in function. They gained in lethality.
According to the definition that is currently operable,
we're not going to get anywhere close to trying to prevent another lab leak of this dangerous sort of experiment. You won't admit that it's dangerous, and for that lack of judgment, I think it's time that you resign.
Project Veritas has obtained never-before-seen military documents regarding the origins of COVID-19, gain-of-function research, vaccines, potential treatments which have been suppressed, and the government's effort to conceal all of this. Dr. Anthony Fauci has testified many times before Congress stating that the U.S. government was never involved in gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Good one.
Will you today finally take some responsibility for funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Senator, with all due respect, I disagree with so many of the things that you've said. First of all, gain of function is a very nebulous term.
That's
double speak.
But
the thing is you're still unwilling to admit that they gained in function when they say they became sicker. They gained in lethality. It's a new virus. That's not gain of function.
According to the definition that is currently operable.
We're not going to get anywhere close to trying to prevent another lab leak of this dangerous sort of experiment. You won't admit that it's dangerous, and for that lack of judgment, I think it's time that you resign.
You have said that I am unwilling to take any responsibility for the current pandemic. I have no responsibility for the current pandemic.
Huh. That assertion is based on the NIH's definition of gain of function. However, the documents we've obtained refute that. The documents in question stem from a report at the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, better known as DARPA, which were hidden in a top-secret share drive. But what is DARPA? They are an agency under the U.S. Department of Defense, which facilitates research and technology with potential military applications. Dr. Stephen Walker was the director of DARPA at the time of the EcoHealth Alliance proposal. A source sent us this video of Dr. Walker talking about research they were exploring related to mRNA technology and its potential application with military personnel in the field.
Listen closely.
DARPA, about 5 or 6 years ago, we stood up an office called the Biotechnology Office, and the real purpose of that was to understand how biology worked and then build design, build, and test cycles where you could engineer microorganisms to do things that you want to do.
Though the main report regarding the EcoHealth Alliance proposal leaked on the internet a couple of months ago, it has remained unverified until now. Project Veritas has obtained a separate report to the Inspector General of the Department of Defense, written by the U.S. Marine Corps Major Joseph Murphy, a former DARPA fellow. Major Murphy makes claims in his report to the Inspector General that, if true, could be damning to the official narrative that has been played out to the world over the past 2 years. Major Murphy's report states that EcoHealth Alliance approached DARPA in March 2018, seeking funding to conduct gain-of-function research of bat-borne coronaviruses. The proposal was named Project Diffuse. DARPA rejected the proposal because the work was too dangerous and could violate the gain-of-function moratorium, despite EcoHealth's position that it would not. According to the documents, the NIAID, under the direction of Dr. Fauci, did not reject the proposal. They went ahead with the research at Wuhan and several sites across the U.S. Dr. Fauci has repeatedly maintained his position, under oath, that the NIH and NIAID have not been involved in gain-of-function research with the EcoHealth Alliance program. This appears to be contradictory to Major Murphy's analysis and the rejection from the Biological Technologies Office at DARPA. Major Murphy's report goes on to detail great concern.
All right, so I've got more information about Major Murphy's report. That's what this Project Veritas video is. So I've got a more detailed analysis of that and direct quotes from that. I'm going to get into that when we come back because I want you to understand exactly what's going on. And Dr. Fauci and people like Francis Collins, the guy that was in charge of the National Institutes of Health, should be in jail based on what I'm reading. We'll let you decide for yourself. We'll be right back. Go ahead, bring up radio. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. We're talking through, following up on Project Veritas. James O'Keefe released last night another explosive video. This is information that came out of something called the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is DARPA. Okay, sounds like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something from a Marvel movie. Okay, but this is real. All right, so I'm going to take you through this. That was the video that you heard about, a little bit over half of it before we hit the break. And I put the link up to that on Facebook, so you can check that out for yourself. This is an article that goes through it from Red State and kind of deals with the main pieces of information that come out of these documents. Okay, so I'm going to walk you through that. By the way, as if you want to be engaged, if you want to be a critical thinker, don't just buy what the right or the left is selling you. Once again, I just put on Facebook Live at the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook the links to the Spotify website for Joe Rogan's interviews, number one with Dr. Peter A. McCullough, which broke the podcast record. It was the number one podcast in the history of podcasting when it came out in December. But then it was surpassed just 2 weeks later by episode 1757 with Dr. Robert Malone, who's one of the people that created the technology behind mRNA vaccines. And that one's 3 hours long, but I'm telling you, because we've all spent a lot more than 3 hours dealing with this over the past 2 years, you will get pulled in. It will make more sense to you than you think, even though this guy's off the charts qualified and off the charts intelligent, like way beyond most of us, certainly beyond me. But because it's stuff you've become familiar with, you're going to be able to work through it. And you'll be shocked and disgusted and informed all at the same time. You'll get to spend 3 hours feeling that way over and over again. Okay, so I just put those links up so you can go listen to it for yourself on Spotify. Okay, they took it down off of YouTube, of course. But this the James O'Keefe Project Veritas thing. Okay, here's the article from Red State, specific to these actual articles. These are actual documents. Okay. One document, an August 13th, 2021 report, just a few months ago, on Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's DARPA, letterhead from the Commandant of the Marine Corps Fellow, DARPA, to the Inspector General of the Department of Defense, carries the subject line, quote, SARS-CoV-2 origins investigation with U.S. government programs, undisclosed document analysis. The analysis reports that the 2018 EcoHealth Alliance coronavirus research proposal that DARPA rejected because it was too risky and likely violated the gain-of-function research ban was then funded by the NIH, NIAID, thank you, Dr. Fauci, and carried out, and that SARS-CoV-2, a.k.a. COVID-19, resulted from that research and escaped, get this, in August of 2019. Escaped August of 2019. Not February when it got here 2 years ago, but August of the year before 2019. The more explosive parts of the report were not narrated by James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, but were in the screenshots shown. In the video, Project Veritas identifies the author as Marine Corps Major Joseph Murphy, then Commandant Marine Corps Fellow at DARPA. He's referenced in what I just read you. According to his LinkedIn page, Major Murphy is now at the Office of Naval Research. The first page of the memo reads, SARS-CoV-2 is an American-created recombinant bat vaccine, right? Remember the bats flew in and landed in somebody's soup? Remember that garbage? Or its precursor virus. It was created by an EcoHealth Alliance program at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, WIV. It was created, hello, at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, as suggested by the reporting surrounding the lab leak hypothesis. The details of this program have been concealed since the pandemic began. These details can be found in the EcoHealth Alliance proposal response to the DARPA preemptive program broad agency announcement. Dated March 2018, this goes back almost 4 years now, a document not yet publicly disclosed. No kidding. The contents of the proposed program are extremely detailed. Peter Daszak lays out step by step, he's a buddy of Fauci, by the way, what the organization intends to do by phase and by location. The primary scientists involved, their roles, and their institutions are indicated. The funding plan for the WIV, that's the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work is its own document. The reasons why non-pharmaceutical interventions like masks and medical countermeasures like the mRNA vaccines do not work well can be extrapolated from the details. The reasons why the early treatment protocols work as curatives are apparent. What are those early treatment protocols? You'll know them. Remember? Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. SARS-CoV-2's form as it emerged is likely as a precursor, deliberately virulent, humanized recombinant SARS-CoV-2 that was to be reverse engineered into a live attenuated SARS-CoV-19 bat vaccine. Murphy then goes into the rejection by DARPA and claims that the proposal was actually funded by NIAID and that work began on the project. That would be Fauci. So when Fauci's saying to Rand Paul, well, according to the current definition of gain of function research, blah, 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 blah. So they just manipulate the phraseology, the terminology. They're playing in the margins so that say, well, the way you're describing it isn't the way that we've actually written that. So you just change the terms of the game, right? Just change the rules. DARPA rejected the proposal because the work was too close to violating the gain of function moratorium, despite what Peter Daszak says in his proposal. As is known, Dr. Fauci with the NIAID did not reject the proposal. The work did take place at the Wuhan Institute of Virology and at several sites in the U.S. identified in detail in the proposal. One of them, by the way, for all of my Triangle area friends, right here at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. That work resulted in the creation of SARS-CoV-WIV, Wuhan, or what we now know as SARS-CoV-2, according to the report. Here's a direct quote from the report. SARS-CoV-2, hereafter referred to as SARS-CoV-WIV, Wuhan, is a synthetic spike protein chimera engineered to attach to human ACE receptors and inserted into a recombinant SARS-CoV backbone. It is likely a live vaccine not yet engineered to be more attenuated state that the program sought to create with its final version. It leaked and spread rapidly because it was aerosolized, so it could efficiently infect bats in caves. But it was not ready to infect bats yet, which is why it does not appear to infect bats. The reason the disease is so confusing is because it is less a virus than it is an engineered spike protein hitchhiking a ride on SARS-CoV-2 quasi-species swarm. Let me break that down for you, because I've said this for a while. I'm like, you want to know why this thing's so strange and it hits one person one way and another person another way? And there's brain fog and all this bizarre stuff. Listen to the podcast for Joe Rogan. It's because it was engineered in the first place. It doesn't act like a naturally occurring phenomenon. Why? Because it's not natural. It's engineered. Hello? Think Frankenstein. And this affects, see, 3 years ago, I never would have talked like this. Now I am. Because I believe this is the truth. And this affects the efficacy of mRNA vaccines, as Murphy Report states. Here's what it says. The gene-encoded or mRNA vaccines work poorly because they are a synthetic replication of the already synthetic SARS-CoV-2 Wuhan synthetic spike proteins and possess no other epitopes. Many doctors in the country have identified that the symptoms of vaccine reactions mirror the symptoms of the disease, which corroborates with the similar synthetic nature and function of the respective spike proteins. Think Frankenstein. And it got out of the lab, right? Regarding ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, the much maligned treatments for COVID-19, here's what also he put in the report. Ivermectin, identified as a curative in April 2020, works throughout all phases of illness because it both inhibits viral replication and modulates the immune response. Of note, hydroxychloroquine, identified in April 2020 as a curative, is identified in the proposal as a SARS-CoV inhibitor, as is interferon, which is identified in May 2020 as a COVID help, right? So according to Murphy, the U.S. government identified ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and interferon as curatives for COVID-19 in April and May of 2020. Yet, pharmacists are still not filling prescriptions for them in January of 2022. Why? Who made the decision to essentially sentence over 800,000 Americans to death? Wow, check out that statement. No, you need to go. You don't take ivermectin. You don't deal with hydroxychloroquine. You come and let us give you the protocol, which many of you then end up on vents. And when you get on a vent, then you're dead. Why? So that, I don't know, so that big pharma can make more and more money? I sound like a wacko, except I've read enough and watched enough and listened to enough in the last 2 years that I'm not a wacko. And Pfizer is the most criminally recognized pharmaceutical company in the history of pharmaceuticals. Can you trust Pfizer? You know how much money they're making off of this? Holy cow. All this information about the proposed research and all of the experiments that had already taken place and which were denied by Fauci, Daszak, and every scientist they could coerce or threaten, that's what Rand Paul was yelling at him about today, was readily available in the EcoHealth Alliance's response to the preempt BAA, that was from DARPA, which should have been an unclassified publicly available document, right? Right. However, the document was somehow placed in a top secret share drive, according to Murphy's report. How convenient. Was it a cover-up? More from Murphy's report. Here's what Murphy wrote. Okay, this guy that worked at DARPA. A technological challenge as difficult as inoculating bats in China would be tried at DARPA first. The massive Manhattan Project level of information suppression executed by the government and the Trusted News Initiative that deals with your mainstream media indicates that it would be covered up if something bad happened. Right? Got to cover your tracks. Thank you, Dr. Fauci. The lab leak hypothesis and squabbling between Senator Paul and Dr. Fauci indicated that the cover-up was more localized. Further, an actual cover-up would be more disciplined with its paperwork. So I presumed, Sergeant Murphy, that unclassified files would be concealed on a higher network and found them where I expected them to be. I understood what they were and their content, pushed the files off-site, and compiled this report. So we had to go around it in order to, for you and I to be listening to this today. Interestingly, Murphy's fellowship at DARPA ended in August of 2021. If what we know so far about Murphy's report is correct, there should be or should have been corresponding documents at the NIH. Given what has happened since the research reportedly started, it wouldn't be surprising if those documents met Shredder's and Bleach Pit. But knowing the cast of characters involved, it also wouldn't be surprising if they all kept some kind of leverage document to point the finger of blame elsewhere. What are they going to do? Blame Trump? Probably. What did the Department of Defense Inspector General do with Murphy's report? What else did it contain? Hopefully there will be follow-up reporting from Project Veritas. Continue, my friends, to pray for the truth. For the truth to be revealed. Because the entire world was affected and infected by these shenanigans. This criminal activity that put a good chunk of people around the globe at risk and killed a couple million of them. Thank you for monkeying around with things. Got to keep talking about it. Keep praying for the truth. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.